Welcome back to my show. Today I have the amazing pleasure to talk with an amazing guest today. Her name is Anusha Syed, and she is an amazing book illustrator, and she has lots of books that she has written herself as well. So hi Anusha, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk to you today. Please introduce yourself and maybe give like a synopsis of your latest book.
Sure. So I'm Anusha Syed. I work as a children's book author and illustrator, as well as a character designer for animation. I live in Canada and I've been working as an illustrator for 8 years now. And in that time, I've worked on 40 books. Those are all ones that I've illustrated. I recently started writing books as well. I have two that I'm working on right now, but my first book that came out is That's Not My Name, that came out last year, which I believe that's what we're talking about today. So That's Not My Name is a picture book that is about a little girl called Mirha who starts her very first day of school, and she's so excited to, you know, meet friends and, you know, get to know her classmates, but she very quickly realizes that no one can pronounce her name properly, and they're calling her all sorts of things like Mila and Miriam and Maria, and even her teachers are getting it wrong. And there are unfortunately even students who are saying that she should probably change her name to something easier that everyone else can say. So Mirha starts to think that she should probably change her name to something easier. But when she goes home to tell her mom about her plan to change her name, her mom reminds her of how beautiful and special her name is and that she shouldn't change it for anyone. And if people can remember names like Beethoven and Tchaikovsky and Michelangelo, then they can give Mirha the respect that she deserves. And then she goes back to school and she is proud of her name. She stands up for herself, and it's just a message about self-confidence and loving your name.
Yeah, I think I totally connect with that storyline. I think like many times like people are having difficulty pronouncing Indian names or any name that is not really American, or depending on where you live, not there. So I mean, we all face difficulty in some kind of name, but you're not going to change it for someone else. The person is just one part of your life. It's not someone who is going to be there throughout. Like, your classmates are going to change every year, pretty much. And as I said earlier, like, your book also showcases, like, self-identity and self-confidence and how you should be happy with who you are. I totally agree with that message.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
And for all those people out there who are into books that showcase this kind of, you know, theme where it shows self-confidence and, like, you know, being proud of who you are, this book is definitely for you. Feel free to check it out. I'll be linking Anusha's website in the show notes, so you can feel free to check that out and follow her for updates on her writing as well as her illustration. So Anusha, my next question for you is, how does your illustration process work? Like, where do you begin?
So it does depend on whether I am writing the book as well or just illustrating it. If I'm working with an author, what usually happens is that the publisher will send me the manuscript of the book. I give a read through of it, and we first start off with the character design sketches of just trying to figure out what the style of the book should look like, what the main character should look like. And this is all part of my initial research stage, where I'm figuring out the style and just doing a lot of exploration sketches. And then for certain books, I might do a lot of research as well. Like a book that came out very recently, Rani's Remarkable Day, is very heavily inspired by like South Asian architecture and textiles and things like that. So I had to gather a lot of photographic references for it. And so once I have all this research ready, I then start to do my initial sketches. And these are quite rough, just black and white, very simple. And after that, I send those over to my publisher. They have a look through over it with the author and try to see if there are any changes that they should make. They'll come back to me with notes, and using those notes, I'll clean them up, correct them, and then I try to refine them into much cleaner sketches, send that for review, And when that's finally approved, I move on to my final painting. For the painting, sometimes I'll start with a color rough stage where I basically just try to figure out what my color palette will look like on each page. And again, this is going to be very rough. I'm just blocking down color very quickly. But sometimes I won't do this step. But then for painting, if I'm doing digital art, I am using my iPad on the app Procreate, and I will spend maybe like 3-4 months on doing the final painting. More recently, I've started going into traditional art for my picture books, and for that I'll use a combination of gouache paint and color pencils and collage as well, like cutting up paper. And so I'll spend some time on doing the painting and just cleaning it up as much as I can, send that for review, and once everything is all done, we work on the cover, and then that's it.
Yeah, I think, like, as far as I can understand, I think it just shows that, like, how lengthy the process is. Often people, you know, like, when they're reading a book and it is quoted, they, like, overlook them. They're like, okay, I see pictures, but they don't really acknowledge the fact there's like a hardworking illustrator behind it. Normally it's just the writer who gets the credit for the book. Because I think if your book has photos in it, there's always an illustrator in it. I mean, even if you do not have pictures, you have the cover. The cover is done by an illustrator. But oftentimes I've noticed that people do not really appreciate the creativity and the hard work the illustrator puts in. And I think the process which you have told us proves that, like, you know, you guys work a lot towards the project, be it your own or, like, you know, someone else's project that you're helping them.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people don't appreciate the work of an illustrator. I know there are so many times, like in articles or in media, the article will mention, like, oh, this is a new picture book by this author, and they won't even mention the illustrator. So that's actually one of the reasons why I shifted towards writing my own books as well, because I do love illustrating, but I didn't really like how little attention that we get as illustrators.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just, like, getting that recognition so that, you know, you can, like, you know, work with other authors, and, like, you know, even if you're working with authors, I know some of them write their own articles in that sense, and maybe you would get, like, I have seen a few articles about, you know, illustrators, but, like, oftentimes it's just maybe, like, maybe one or two lines, whereas the author might get, like, a whole paragraph or even 5 lines. So yeah. I think, again, like, creativity is just kind of like a whole, like, playing with boundaries. Sometimes people say it's without boundaries, but then when it comes to the media portraying creativity, sometimes they put them in a box, which means that people who should be within the box are cut out. Like, for example, illustrators, often even agents are not, like, you know, agents help the book get out, but even agents don't really get, like, a, you know, like a shout out or, like, you know, at least an acknowledgement. Like, in the book itself, maybe there'll be, like, thanks to my illustrator, thanks to my agent, but they don't really, like, you know, put in, like, a whole section dedicated just to them.
Right.
So on to my next question, kind of based on, like, your book as well as, like, you know, this conversation we just had. What are your thoughts on diverse characters? Do you really think that the publication, like prints and media, really wants diversity, or do you think they try to avoid diverse characters in books?
I think that we are in a good place in the industry right now, at least in North America, where we're seeing a really big push towards diverse and inclusive stories, especially own voices, meaning, you know, like, if you have a story about South Asian characters, you would have the author and illustrator from that background, for example, or someone who is differently abled, you would have, like, someone who's writing or illustrating who is as well. Because there is a big demand for it, because, you know, our world, especially, again, I'm from North America, so I'm just speaking from that. It has people from all different sorts of places, and at least I know when I was growing up, I never saw myself in books, and I didn't feel represented. And so now we're seeing a lot more, there's a greater need for it now. And there are more authors and illustrators who are trying to tell their own stories, you know, like me. Like, I am writing the stories that I wish I had as a kid. So there's definitely a huge market for it, because you know, kids want to feel included. We want to be able to tell stories of all different backgrounds. But on the other hand, it is true that, again, in North America, there have been a rise in book bans as well, particularly in Florida, where there are certain books that are being taken out of libraries or out of schools because of the content that they have. Even one of my books, Bilal Cooks Thal, has been banned in some places. And it's really just about a boy cooking a meal with his dad, which I think is so crazy. But it is a scary time that there are some people who don't want to see this kind of diversity. But I think the majority of people do see the value in it.
Yeah, I mean, I find it quite strange, actually, when you just pointed out that, like you said, your book is about a kid, like, you know, cooking with his father. So what's the, like, what made them think that it's wrong? I mean, like, it's just a kid cooking with their dad, spending some time with them. So I don't really understand either, like, you know, I mean, it's not anything explicit, at least. I mean, it's like a kid's book, right? So, I mean, I don't know why they would do that. So could you give more context on, like, that book?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main reason that it's banned is that it's about a South Asian. It's about a Pakistani boy and a Pakistani dad who are cooking a cultural dish. And that, unfortunately, is something that does scare people, that they want the world or they want their life to stay the same that it's always been. They don't want to have different cultures coming in. They don't want anything new. And they feel threatened by a book about a Pakistani kid, which is very unfortunate. But unfortunately, there are people who think like that.
Yeah, and right now, like, there's always, like, the small majority of people who do not want these kind of books, whereas there are other kids and other people who want these books because they never had these, like, you know, different books that are not just with American characters and have, like, you know, a diversity. Like Asian characters, African American characters, well, everyone, like, you know, like, everyone is included some or the other way. Like, normally, like, in books, they always have these weird stereotypes of Asian characters. Some of them are made too smart because they believe they're smart. Some of them, especially for the Indian characters, I noticed they make them love cricket. I personally am Indian, but I do not love cricket. I do not even know how to play it, actually. I actually touched base on the same thing, actually, in another interview I did with Rajin Darokas. So any of you guys listening to this episode, feel free to check that out as well if you want more in-depth about this topic of, like, you know, banning books. On the same subject of banning books, actually, I feel like, you know, again, as I said, people are threatened by, like, new cultures. They do not want, like, clashing stuff. Like, you know, they don't want people being, like, reading more books of diversity than reading American books. Like, I don't know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or they don't want you to leave the classics. They kind of want you to stick to what they want you to read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, people are like, because I mean, I would totally read that book because, I mean, like, I just, like, love diversity. So, like, if it's about, like, you know, cultures I've not explored much, or don't know much about, I would definitely read, like, Korean, Pakistani, Japanese, Korean, whatever it is. I mean, it's just about learning and expanding your knowledge, because, I mean, reading through each and every kind of culture teaches you different things, even if it's fiction.
Yeah, you would definitely, I think, because these inclusive stories do two things, right? Like, one, it makes the people who, because, like, Bilal Cooks Thal, which is about, like, a Pakistani kid, Pakistani children are going to read that book and feel included. They're going to see that, like, oh, wow, he's cooking a dish that I eat at home. He's sharing it with everyone, and it's making him happy. So they get to feel included. So that's one part of that. But then the other part is that you get to share different perspectives with other people. So with my book, That's Not My Name, of course, kids who have complicated names are going to love it. But I really hope that people who have, you know, easy names are going to read it as well, because they will learn how important it is to say other people's names right. Because I think that's even more important, because that's the major lesson.
Absolutely. I think it's just important to, like, kind of respect all cultures, make sure, like, you're treating everyone equally, and, like, you know, at least making an effort. Like, yeah, I get some names that are actually genuinely hard, but, like, if you at least make an effort somewhat, like even if you, like, you know, mess it up, try fixing it. Maybe each week set a goal for yourself that you're gonna try remembering or understanding how to say it the best you can. Because I know some people like purposely do this as well. Like some people actually do it, that's a different thing. But I think the people who actually purposely try to make fun of your name or, you know, mess it up so that, you know, you feel like you have the need to change your name. So on to my last and final question for you. I know like you're an illustrator, so like you work with authors as well. So what would be the one like major author you would really love to work with? Like, you know, like your dream project?
That's a little tough. I would say I don't know if my art style is suited for this author, but my favorite book series when I was a kid was A Series of Unfortunate Events, written by Lemony Snicket. That's not his real name. I believe it's Daniel Handler is the actual author. But these were my favorite books when I was growing up, and the illustrator of those books, I think that was Brett Hellquist. I was so inspired by his illustrations, and it was very formative for me to kind of learn about illustration and become very interested in it. So I would love the chance to illustrate something for Lemony Snicket / Daniel Handler one day. However, he does write pretty spooky books or more like dark books, and I don't think my art style is very suited to it. But like maybe he'll write something that's a bit cuter, that might just be the perfect fit. But I think that would be my dream author to work with.
I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, Lemony Snicket is like a personal favorite. I know there's a show as well, I think.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I know it's kind of dark. They kind of warned you about that and started the joke.
But yeah.
I think it's an amazing show. The contrast between your work and his work is quite different. One is dark and one is very lovely and sweet and cute, right? Because your one is for children, right? The show is, and the books are kind of like, you know, targeted towards like a bit more mature audience. Not my mature as in mature, but like, you know, maybe like older kids, the ones who do not read picture books. Although again, to the point, I want to say that picture books, actually anyone can read. I've seen adults read it.
Oh, definitely.
And people my age read it. It's like something like you can read when you really don't feel like, because like thing with picture books is, you can imagine, even though the pictures are on the page, you can imagine it the way you want to.
Oh, I was just gonna say that I feel like the best picture books are the ones that everyone can actually enjoy, just because a lot of the kids who are reading picture books, at least for the age group that I work with, they're still too young to properly read, so it's usually their parents who are reading to them. And so of course I want those books to be enjoyable both for the parents and children. And so there are a lot of really great books, the ones that I'm a huge fan of, that are can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Just if anyone wants to check out a really great picture book, one of my favorites is called School's First Day of School, by Adam Rex, who is another author I love, and Christian Robinson, who is one of my favorite illustrators. It's a really funny book, very clever. And also, since school is starting up right now, a great, you know, it's part of, it's on theme. So I hope you guys check it out.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And I'll be like, you guys, this episode is kind of short, so you most likely will get through it all. If you do not, feel free to like, you know, move ahead to the kind of like the end point and you can reach there. I will link Anusha's website and reach out to her if you have any questions or want to like chat with her or reach out to her to talk to her like more in depth about something. So thank you so much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I hope everyone out there learned something new about how important diversity is and how much it means for illustrators to be recognized so that they know that their work is appreciated.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was great.
Yeah, thank you so much again. Everyone, that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed. And once again, keep reading, keep writing, keep being creative, and I'll see you all next week. Thank you, guys.